begin the current daf in Sechlis Chagiga, daf Chavav. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Yomid, but the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is where our Mishnah had presented a leniency regarding halachas of Tyrus, although generally we do not trust an Amma Aretz. However, regarding those individuals, the Amaratzim, who make pots, we believe them from Modiyim, which is an area of like 15 mil outward from Yerushalayim. So from that radius of Yerushalayim towards Modiyim, that from Modiyim inward, we trust them and we could purchase from them their pots. Now, Tanu learned the Braisa that clarifies this halacha from our Mishnah that said, Mino Modiyim v'lifnim, that we believe for the halachas of Tyrus, the Amaratzim regarding Kli Cheres, regarding earthenware vessels. So the Braisa tells us that Nemanim b'Kli Cheres hadakin l'kodesh. There's a qualification, and that is actually, this Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. That is, our parak opened up with 11 stringencies that Kachem has over Truma. Then we had the following Mishnah that said that there are stringencies that Truma has over Kachem, where that first Mishnah spoke about 2 stringencies. Our Gemara is explaining is that this previous Mishnah, on Daf Chaf Hei, is actually a continuation of that, that it's a third stringency of Truma over Kachem, and that is this that we believe, we consider them trustworthy regarding the halachas of Tahiris from Modiyim inward regarding earthenware vessels, that's actually only regarding Kachem, not by Truma. So that makes it stringency number 3 for Truma over Kachem. Moreover, it's only by these thin earthenware vessels. As Rashi explains, as we had explained in the previous daf, that it's impossible. People need to have these pots. And as the Gemara will later explain, that in Yerushalayim, they couldn't make these kilns to create these pots. So that's only, however, by the thin pots. But by these thick earthenware vessels, for example, by barrels that are used for wine, then we do not trust, we do not believe the Amaratzim all the way from the area of Modiyim, which are 15 mil out from Yerushalayim. Only in Yerushalayim proper, in Yerushalayim itself, that is for the large, thick barrels of Kli Cheres, that would be only in Yerushalayim, and therefore the qualification of the leniency of the Avar Mishnah, A, is only by Kachem, because actually this is a third stringency of a Truma of a Kachem, and moreover, it's only by these thin ones, which everybody has to use, and therefore there's not enough to go around, and therefore we expand our belief for the Amaratzim all the way out to Modiyim. But the Gassim, those would only apply, we could only purchase from those in Yerushalayim itself. Now, regarding this halacha, there's a machlekes. Amar Shlakish, he says, V'hushen itolim yodei achas. This, like we said, it's only these small little utensils which everybody has to use. It has to be a type of utensil that could be held in one hand. That would qualify it as a small, thin Kli Cheres. Rabbi Yechonamar, he argues, he says, Afila she'en itolim yodei achas, even if you can't carry with just one hand. However, if it's thin, it would still qualify for this leniency that we're saying regarding Kachem all the way out to Modiyim that we are believing the Amaratzim regarding purchasing the Kli Cheres from them. Another machlekes between them is that Amar Ish Lakish, he says, Leshana El Rikanan, this that we're allowed to buy this Kli Cheres that's thin in the context of Tyrus for Kachem all the way out to Modiyim is only if the flask, this little utensil, is empty. A Malayan light, but if they're full, then you have his tummy liquids of the Amma Aretz inside, then we don't believe the Amma Aretz, and then you cannot purchase from it. Whereas Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, no, Afila Malayim, even if this earthenware vessel that you're buying from him is filled with his own beverage, which is not Kachem, and Afila Afikarsusay L'Teichay, even if his kerchief that goes on his head is inside the barrel, which if we consider tame, doesn't make a difference, we could still purchase the utensil that's holding that, we could purchase that itself. Now, V'amar Rava. Rava, however, explains this halacha of Rabbi Yechonan. And that is, he says, U'mayd Rabbi Yechonan, Rabbi Yechonan agrees to Rish Lakish, which seems to be the logic of Rish Lakish, why he says that you cannot purchase from him the earthenware vessel if there's liquids of the Amaret inside of it, that he agrees also that B'mashkin Asma Chain Tamein, he agrees that the liquid is tame. Now then, she would wonder, how do you understand Rabbi Yechonan? Isn't Rish Lakish correct? If the liquid's inside the container is tamei, but the container is going to be tahar? So that Rabbi says, va'al titma. Don't wonder, how could it be such dichotomous type of a ruling? Because all the words of our sages are like this. Sha'arei, the reason is, and we had provided a similar example to this in the previous daf, which was regarding when there was an earthenware vessel that was blocking up the hole that was between the first story and the second story, where Bishamei had said that the liquids that are on the second floor will be tahar, but however, the metal utensils will be tamei. Now that's a similar to halacha in Masechtas Alos that the Gemara quotes, where you have lagin mali mashkin, you could have a flask full with liquid, and yet lagin tamei tumashiba, The flask will be tummy for 7 days, yinu mashkin tyrin, and the liquids inside will be tar. So that's the inverse of the case we're saying over here, where you could have the mashkin that are tummy, yet the container is tar on the outside. So you see that there is this division that you could create. You could have a utensil full with liquid, and one of them could be tummy, and the other one could be tar, and therefore it's not a contradiction in halacha, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. Even if it's full with his tummy liquids, we still consider that he's neman, again, because of the necessity of it, because we can't have any other klicheres, because they couldn't make it, because they didn't have those ovens, and therefore we believe them, the halacha of kachem, of klicheres, all the way out to modiim, according to Rabbi Yechanan, even if they have liquids inside. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, a continuation of this theme of the previous Mishnahs, which is going towards the fourth and fifth stringencies of truma of a kachem. Mishnah tells us Hagaboyin, and these are Jewish people that are Amoratsim, who are there appointed by the non-Jewish king to go ahead and collect taxes from the Jewish people. That's the head tax and the animal tax and all these other types of taxes. So Shenichnasu l'techabayis, they come into the house and they want to collect the collateral for the money that you owe for taxes. So that's one type of case. B'chin Haganovim, and also a thief, a robber, who steals earthenware vessels. Shechziras Hakelim, that in this case with a thief he returns the vessels. So regarding these two individuals, the gabai, that's the tax collector, and the ganav, who returned these vessels that he had taken, nemonim lemeloy nagan, although they took it as collateral, and they're returning it, or he stole it and he's returning it, he's believed to say, both of these individuals, that we didn't touch the inside. Now as Rashi explains, this is stringency number 4 of Truma v'Kachem, that they're only believed regarding Kachem and not regarding Truma, and that's because we're still going back on the Mishnah of Chaymer b'Truma over Kachem, as it's learned explicitly in the Tesefta, where it says that the Gaboim that come into a house, they're believed regarding Taras Chatas, which Rashi explains that's a reference to Kachem type of a meat, and they're not believed regarding Taharas Truma. However, what we see is from the Mishnah is that regarding Kachem at least, that they're believed to say, although we touched the outside of the earthenware vessel, but since earthenware cannot contract Tumah from the outside, they're believed to say we didn't put our hands inside, and therefore it's not considered tummy regarding Kachem. Stringency number 5 is that Ubi Yerushalayim Neman ala Kodesh. However, regarding Yerushalayim, they do have Nemanis regarding Kachem. However, that does not apply to Truma. However, B'shasa Regal Afala Truma, and the Yom Tov itself, Yom Tov proper, then even regarding Truma, the Am Aretz will be believed, and this is one of the main points of why we would introduce all these Taharas Gemaras. So, but until now, as the Gemara will explain, based on the principle that we're speaking about Masechtas Chagiga, this will come in regarding the halachas of the Yom Tov. Now, the Gemara first asks Remina. There seems to be a contradiction from Mishnah Masechtas Taharas on our Mishnah. The Mishnah there says, Hagaboyin shenichnasu l'teich habayis, regarding these tax collectors that come into the house. So the Mishnah says clearly, Habayis kulei tamei. The whole entire house is considered tamei. What that means is that every single utensil in the house is tamei. And the reason is because we assume that the Gabbai touched everything. He's looking, he's checking, making sure what you have, what you don't have. And therefore that contradicts our Mishnah, where our Mishnah said that they're believed to say that it's not tamei. And yet here we see that no matter what the case is, everything is tamei. So I think it's loy kasha. It's not a contradiction, because the Mishnah Masechtas Taharas was the ikka nachri bahadayu. The tax collector is Jewish, and he knows all the Jewish houses, and he's appointed by the non-Jewish king. However, there's a non-Jewish person together with him. Then he's not believed to say, we didn't touch. And the reason is because he's afraid. If he doesn't check everything in the house, he has the non-Jewish person looking over his shoulder. And therefore, in such a case, the Mishnah Masechtas Taharas says, everything is considered tamei. He put his hand in every place. But our Mishnah that said that he's believed to say, look, I didn't touch the inside, it didn't become tummy, is the Lekha Nachar Badai, where there is no non-Jew. And therefore, he knows about Tyrus. He's not going to be a vicious person to Badavka make what's inside, make the Kalim tummy. So he says, look, I just took the outside, I touched it, but it doesn't contract from the outside, and I didn't put my hand inside. It's not like we learned, actually, as the Mishnah Tyrus itself over there qualifies it in this way, where it says, Im yesh nachri yimohen, if there's a non-Jew, together with the Jewish tax collector, then nemonim loy meloy nechnasnu. What are they believed to say? That we didn't enter into this area. Aval ein nemonim loy nechnasnu loy neganu. But they're not believed to say that we entered, but we didn't touch. And that is, as we said, because once they go in, the non-Jew is looking. He's saying, hey, you didn't check over there, you didn't check over there. And therefore, he's going to check and touch everything. And therefore, he's not believed to say he didn't touch, because of course he did, because he's afraid of the non-Jew, and therefore everything's going to be tamei. But Amir Shatoma, when he came by himself, he's not going to handle everything and be tamei everything, and that's why he's believed to say that he didn't make it tamei. Now the Gemara asks regarding this resolution, what is it? Why, when there's a non-Jew with him, is he not believed to say he didn't touch the inside and make a tameh? So there's two interpretations. Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Laza, Chadam one says, Amos Nachri Alehem. It's the fear of the non-Jew that's with him, that he's afraid of him. Maybe he's going to punish him bodily or monetarily, that he's going to say, hey, you, what are you doing? You're not doing the right type of work. So he's afraid of him. Chadam one says, he's not afraid of him, but Amos Malchus Alehem. He's afraid of the king, that is, maybe this non-Jew that's looking is going to go and slander him to the king and say, hey, this Jew that you appointed, he's not doing his rightful job, and that's why he's afraid. So the Gemara asks Maibin, what's the difference between these two types of fears? The difference would be in a case where the non-Jew who's with him is not a respectable, dignified person that you would be afraid of. So he's not afraid of him, but there would still be an element of afraid that he might tell the king, and that would be the difference between the two opinions. If you hold that it's only because afraid of that non-Jew itself, the halacha wouldn't apply, and then he would be neman to say that he didn't touch. Now the Mishnah also said, regarding a second similar case, also regarding the thief, if he returns the utensils, although he stole it, but he's neman to say, look, I know I took the utensil, but it's earthenware, and I only touched the outside. It doesn't contract tumah from the outside. I know I'm a aretz, and I could be problematic for your tyrus, but I didn't stick my hand inside. I didn't make a tummy. So he's believed. Now the Gemara asked for a minute, but we learned over the Inam Mishnah Masechtas Tahayrois. It says, Haganovim shenichnasu l'teicha bayis, thieves that enter into a house, ainu tummy. We don't say the whole house is tummy. Elamokam drisus ragli haganovim, only in the place where you could tell where the footsteps of the ganav had gone. Now, one thing that we do see, however, is but wherever he did go became tamei, and for sure what he stole and then returned, for sure going to be considering as tamei. So that contradicts our Mishnah, which said that even what he returned is not tamei if he says, I didn't touch it and make it tamei. So Amar Pinchas Mishmei, and the Gersa is derava, he says, Kisha asu tshuva. You're right. Generally, we'll assume whatever he touched, he didn't care, he's a thief, he's a liar. He went and made everything tamei. So we have to assume that's tamei. Our Mishnah is talking about that why did he return it? Because he did tshuva. He repented. And therefore, if he's doing tshuva, he's not going to lie when he's trying to repent and come back to Hashem and say that, oh, it's not tameh, and therefore we believe him. If he's returning it, he's obviously not lying. As the Gemara says, deganami, actually, it could be inferred like this pshat. Diktanim, because we learned in our Mishnah that says, shechaziu esa kelim shemamina. We're saying that they returned the utensils. What does that mean? It's not that just we found it. It's not that he returned it. Why is he returning it? Because he's doing tshuva. And therefore, if he's doing tshuva and he's saying, I didn't make a tameh, must be saying the truth. And that's where the neman to say that it's not tameh. Now, Mishnah then continued to stringency number 5, that truma has over kachim. That we said, Ubi Rishalayim neman malakodesh. In Jerusalem itself, the Amaratzim do have nemanis regarding the tahara for kachim items. Now, Tana, we learned the b'raisa of what that's a reference to is, Nemanim al klicheres gasin lakodesh, that they're believed even regarding these big, large earthenware vessels for kachim. And as Rashi says, for sure, on regarding the dakin. The only chiddush of this is that because we said regarding the large gasim klicheres, we said that that is not allowed up to Modiyin. The nemanis of Amaratzim, of believing them regarding the tahara of the earthenware vessels that they're selling, was only on the small ones, because everybody needs it. So by that, we extended that all the way out to Modiyin. But regarding the large ones, they're not believed. But that is a different leniency that, however, in Yerushalayim itself, they're the large ones, we believe them also, since it's only in Yerushalayim. As Rashi brings it explicitly from a brayse in the Yerushalmi that says they believe regarding the tahara of all kelim, kasim, and the other ones, the thin ones, the dakin also. Now the Gemara asks, v'kol kach lama. Now this question, as Rashi explains, is going back not just on this leniency of kachim regarding the kli gasin, the big barrels of earthenware for Yerushalayim, but it's also going back on what's the understanding of the leniency of the dakin, the small little earthenware utensils that we said that we even allow that and the mumness even all the way out to Modiyin. What's the understanding? Like we see by Truma, we don't trust them, we don't believe them on the Taharas. So why are we lax and lenient regarding Kachim, regarding the Gasin in Yerushalayim and the Dakin all the way out to Modiyin? So the Gemara explains that it was a necessity. We couldn't make this gezerah that we make of Amaratzim, that we assume what they have to be Tameh, on these types of utensils. And the reason is, Shein Oysin Kiv Shein Yisbir Yerushalayim. There's a halacha that does not allow the people to make kilns, these type of ovens that produce these earthenware vessels in Yerushalayim, not for making thin little ones and not for making large earthenware vessels. Now, However, why is there a differential in halacha regarding the dakim and the gasin? And that the reason is because the dakim, small little earthenware vessels that everybody uses, every single person needs to use it. And that's because even for kachim purposes, people make their own nesachim tar in their own house. So therefore, we have to extend. There's so many people that need these small little earthenware vessels. So the heter for kachim, we extend it all the way out to the boundary of Modiim. But who needs the large earthenware vessels for kachim? Not every single individual. Everyone has their own small little nesachim that they're going to bring. It's only the Bali Lishka, those in charge of the kachim in the Beis HaMikdash, who they provide the nesachim for people that don't have their own. For them, it's enough to attain those types of large earthenware vessels in Yerushalayim itself, and therefore it's only there that they believe the Amaratzim regarding these large chavis, regarding these large barrels. Or, what we're talking about is that the reason why for individuals, which are the small little earthenware vessels, that we extended that all the way out to Modiim, is because the reason why people need it is not just for their nesachim, is because people are cooking their shlamim, which a lot of eat in the whole vicinity of Yerushalayim, and people are eating these karbanis. They have to have plates, forks, all these things that are klicheris, that have tahara for kachim, and since so many people need it, so therefore we extended that all the way out to Modiim. But again, for the large ones, which are not so necessary, only for those in charge of the kachim and the Beis HaMikdash, therefore we only allowed that in Yerushalayim itself. Now the Gemara continues quoting from a mission that said, "Ubishas haregel afal ha-truma." So although we do not trust Amaratzim regarding Truma, but on Yom Tov itself, then we trust them regarding the Tahara of Truma also. So the Gemara says, "Manan, immediately, where do we know this from? Why would we be lenient and say that suddenly the rest of the year we assume they're Tameh? But on Yom Tov, we assume that they're Tahar, and therefore even regarding Truma, which we don't have the leniencies we have regarding Kachim, we'll say, you know, even though he touched it, he's Tahar, it's going to remain Tahar, and therefore everything he has, this Klicheres, will still be considered Tahar." So the Gemara says, "Manan, immediately." So Amri B'Shuban Levi says, "Amar Kra, it's a pasuk in Shaiftim, which is in the context of Pelegish Begiva, which there was a war that the Jewish people had against Sheva Binyamin. Now this is a time when the whole entire Jewish people were in Giva, which is in portion of Binyamin. So it says, "Ve'yasiv kol ish Yisrael eliyah," that all the Jewish people gathered into the city, ki ish echad, like one man, chaveirim, friends. Now what that means is, hakasav asan, kulon chaveirim, the pasuk made when all the Jewish people are together, then they're considered like chaverim, which are friends, and also that's the term which connotes those are chaver, who is makbid on the halachas of tahiris. Now, a regal, a yomtiv, is a time of gathering of all the Jewish people. They all come and do alila regal. And that's why we allowed that, we considered that no matter what, the amaratzim are going to be considered tahar on the yomtiv, and therefore that would apply even for truma. And this is the impetus of why we discussed all these sugyas up until now, of the halachas of Tuma Tahara, to come to this and the coming Mishnayos, which will then show that, however, even regarding Truma and other areas, we are lenient regarding the Tahara of Ama Aretz, and we consider them Tahar on the Yom Tov itself. Which takes us into the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hapeseich es chavisai," if someone opens up his barrel, let's say opens up to sell wine, or v'amasla b'sasai, or he begins the sale of his dough, al gav haregel, on the yomtiv itself, which means to say that we have a chaver, someone that's particular, he's very careful about his halacha of selling things b'tahara. So he opens up his barrel to sell wine in Yerushalayim on yomtiv. Now, the thing is, whoever's coming to purchase from him wine is going to be touching, or the dough, they're going to be touching things. Now, there's many people, and many of them are going to be amaratim, they're going to be touching it, which could create a problem of tahara. Now, however, as we had just explained, on yomtiv itself, we consider them tahar, so there's no problem that everyone's touching even amaratim on yomtiv itself. The only machlekes that our Mishnah discusses is what happens if they're left over after Yom Tov. Shabbi Huda Eimer Yigmar. He says that you could still conclude it, you continue selling it even after Yom Tov. And the reason is as it's brought in Masechtas Beit of Yud Alfa Mabez, that the Gemara there says that there are three things that are hutru seifim mitshim tchalasin. We allowed the end, although we wouldn't normally, because of the beginning. And this is the same thing because if you say to the chaver, he's selling his dough, a huge pile of dough, and he sold only part of it. We say, okay, now it's after Yom Tov, you can't sell it because there are many Amarats and Ignoramus is touching it. They made it Tameh. So then he's going to say, look, I'm not going to sell that on Yom Tov because it's not worth it to me. I have such a loss now because I can't sell the rest after Yom Tov. Now, if he's not going to sell us, so then the Oile Regalim, those who are coming up to make the pilgrimage on the Yom Tov, are not going to have dough and wine to purchase because people are going to say it's not worth it for them. And therefore, because of the end, we allowed the beginning. He says, you know what? Fine, go ahead and sell it, and we'll let you finish even after Yom Tov selling it, even though the Amaratzim had touched Rabbi Yamta. However, Chachamim lo yigmar, Chacham argue, and they say, no, you cannot conclude selling it after Yom Tov. And that is, although we said that on Yom Tov it's Tahar, as Rashi explains, it's not that that Tahara was, quote, Tahara itself. It wasn't really pure. It's just that on Yom Tov we consider everybody halachically, like Chaverim. But after Yom Tov, retroactively, their touching was a transmission of Tumah, because we do assume that they're Tumah. As the coming Mishnah will say, that once Yom Tov passes, they have to go ahead and toivel and immerse all the vessels in the Azar of the courtyard of the base of Mikdash, because they were Amaratzim, they're Kahanim Amaratzim, Reglam Amaratzim, touching everything on the Yom Tov. So therefore, although on Yom Tov we don't consider halachically Tameh, but essentially they were Tameh and they did touch things. So after Yom Tov, when that Heter is then removed, then they have to go ahead and be toivel everything, the same thing here also. Once it was touched, although on Yom Tov we allow it, but afterwards you can't sell it because it became tummy for the Amaratzim. That's the Machlikis in our Mishnah. So Yosef Rav Ami, the Gemara tells us, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, both of them were sitting, Akilo de Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, on the porch of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. So Pasachad V'Ama, one of them opened up and said as follows. He asked the following question, what's the halacha? Can you leave it according to the Rabbanan that said that it became tummy? You know, on Yom Tov we consider it tahar, but obviously Amaratzim touched it. So once Yom Tov is over, you can't sell it anymore. So his question was, but can you leave it for the next Yom Tov? Because as we had brought a similar concept in the previous daf, at these time periods, no matter what happened, we consider them tahar. So good, so you can't sell it now after Yom Tov, but could I leave it for the next Yom Tov? And then it's going to be tahar, and then you could sell it. So the other one responded to him. He says, what do you mean? Yad hakol mamash mishmba. You mean to say everybody's touching this dough, this wine, even Amaratzim. Fat amrit yanachen el regal achah, and you're going to say save for the next Yom Tov? What do you mean? It's tameh. So the other one responded back to him. What do you mean? Atu adi idna. What do you mean? Up until now, the whole entire Yom Tov, lav yad hakol mamashim erba, wasn't everybody also touching it? And yet you allowed it on the Yom Tov. See here also, even though everyone touched it, and you're right, not when it's not Yom Tov you can't sell it, but on Yom Tov, when the next Yom Tov comes, then you can sell it again. So the other one responded back to him. He says, what do you mean? Hachi hashta, is that a comparison? Bishlema ada in very well up until now, meaning throughout the days of Yom Tov that was still going on. Tumas Amaoritz beregel rachmonotara. The Tumah of Amaoritz on the Yom Tov, as we brought the pasuk before in Shaiftim, the Torah considers him tahar. So therefore, of course, in Yom Tov it's not a problem. But elahashta tamehi. But now it is tamei retroactively, and the chaver is not allowed to sell anything that was ever tamei. And that is because once Yom Tov ends, the chalais, it acquires a status of Tumah. Now, although the next Yom Tov comes, it's too late. It's already Tumah because it already had acquired the retroactive Tumah. On Yom Tov itself, it doesn't yet have the Chalais. It's not finalized its status of Tumah because we consider it Tar. But once it becomes Tumah, you can't go ahead next Yom Tov and then undo that. So the Gemara says, Nemi Ketanoi. The Gemara says, let's say this Machlokes that they're having in the opinion of the Rabbanon, which will resolve the question that they posed, is actually Machlokes Tanoi. The Tanakh, because we learned in one brisa, you could leave it for the next Yom Tov. But Tanya Idach, with another brisa, lo yanachenu regalacha, you cannot leave it for the next Yom Tov. My love, Tanoi, isn't this machlokes of Reb Amir Yitzchak, who were discussing this question, doesn't that seem to be machlokes Tanoim, if you could leave it for the next Yom Tov or not? Nothing worse is loy. Actually, these two brises are not in the opinion of the Rabbanan. Hadik Tanya Yanachenu, the one that says you could leave it, is Reb Yehudu, who he said he has no problem about completing it after Yom Tov. But Vahadik Tani, lo yanachen Rabban, the one says you cannot leave it after Yom Tov, once it's Yom Tov Zobah, you can't sell anymore, that was going according to Rabbanan. So the Gemara asks on this, Betizber, can you really say that one's Rehuda, one's Rabbanan? But Har Rehuda Yigmar Kama, how can you say the Bryce that says that you could have it after Yom Tov when you have it for the next Yom Tov? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to wait for the next Yom Tov. He says you could even finish it after Yom Tov, a week after Yom Tov, 2 weeks after, because of Hetiris Seif Mishem Tchalasim. So rather, the Gemara says, actually it's the opposite way. It's not both Rabbanan, and therefore won't resolve our question, but Hadik Tani Lo Yanachen Rabbi Yehuda. The pin that says that you don't leave it over is Rabbi Yehuda. Vadik Tani Yanachen is Rabbanan. One that says that you could leave it over is Rabbanan. In other words, actually the Rabbanan hold that you could leave the next Yom Tov. But it's not a machlekes tanoim, because in my loya nechena, what does it mean when it's Rabbi Yehuda who's the one that says that you don't leave it over? Not that you cannot leave it over. Shein tzarich la'anicha means that you don't have to leave it over, because Rabbi Yehuda actually holds that you could complete it right after Yom Tov, a day or two afterwards, and therefore the Gemara says that One thing you do see is that there definitely is a pinya contra abanan that you could save for the next yomtiv, but you don't see that it's a machloikis tanoim in the pinya rabanan, because the one that says lo yanachena is not going contra abanan that says you're not allowed to, it's going contra behuda that says you don't have to. And that's because you could be gomerid after yomtiv. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again, as we had alluded to this mission before, continuing on this theme about the status of amharatzim on yomtiv and how that affects the status of these taharas after yomtiv. So the Mishnah says, Mishavah haregel, when the yomtiv is over, mavirin al taharas azara. So then we go and we pass over all the purity of the courtyard. What that means is that we take away, we're mavir, we remove all the vessels from their place in the Beis HaMikdash to immerse them, and we have to totally purify the courtyard from the tumah of amaratzim that were there over yomtiv that touched everything on yomtiv. Now, as we said before, although that the pasuk makes everybody considered like a chavr, someone that's meticulous in the halachas of taharas on the yomtiv, as we said, it's not because they're essentially tahar. It's just halachically we viewed them as such. But however, after yomtiv, their touching was tummy, and retroactively, it's going to be tummy now that yomtiv is over, and therefore they have to go ahead and toivel everything. Now the Mishnah says, however, if ovah haregel yom shishi, if yomtiv is over on a Friday, then lo hayim avirin. Then they wouldn't go ahead on Friday and remove all the vessels. They covered Shabbos because of the honor of Shabbos, and that's because the Kahanim need to be busy, everyone in their own home, has to be helping out, preparing for Shabbos. And therefore, we didn't want to impose them to be doing this work, this large labor, on Friday. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, also if Yom Tov ended on Wednesday, and that is the first day after, is on a Thursday, so then also we won't be toiveling it on Thursday and for sure not on Friday until after Shabbos. And the reason is, she'en ha'kanim panuyim, because they're also not available to be doing this tvila process for all these kalim on that Thursday, which the Gemara brings ton within the brisa. Why? She'en ha'kanim panuyim, the reason why the kanim are not available the day after Yom Tov to immerse it is because they're busy milohitzi b'deshin, because of the large pile that was on the middle of the Mizbeach. We gathered so much ashes over all the karbanos brought on Yom Tov from all the oily regalim. So since they have all those ashes that they have to take care of, that's the day after Yom Tov they're busy with that. They can't be toiveling the kalim. So that takes care of Thursday. And Friday they can't do it because, again, they're busy getting ready for Shabbos, covered Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda says, even in such a case that Thursday is the first available day, they're not going to start toiveling until after Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, Kitzad Mavirin al Taharas Azara. How do we do this process of removing everything to purify the courtyard and toiveling everything? So the Mishnah says, Matpil Nasa Kelim Shai B'Mikdash. It means to say they immerse every single utensil that there was in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, however, V'Oimrim Lahen. However, we tell the Kahanim that are Amaratzim, there are ignoramuses that are Kahanim also, that are there on the Yom Tov. We tell them, Hizaharu, be careful, and continue to Amad Beis, Shle Tigu B'Shulchan. Be careful. You're touching everything, it's okay for Yom Tov, but don't touch the shulchan, the table that was there that had the lechem upon them on it. And the reason is because that's something that we won't be able to immerse after Yom Tov. And the reason is because you cannot remove it from its place. It has to stay there. As the Pasuk says in Shema Yisrael, lechem panem lefonai tamid, the lechem upon them, Hashem says, should always be in front of me. You put on a new one on Shabbos, and as you're putting on the new one, the old ones are taken off, and it has to remain there entire week. So we can never take it to immerse it in the mikvah to be tovelid, and therefore, since it could acquire tumah, be careful, don't touch it, because if you touch it, then we're stuck, because it's not something that we're allowed to remove. Now the Mishnah tells us also that kol hakelim shehayu b'mikdash, all the utensils that were there in the Beis HaMikdash, yeshlim shniim or shlishim, they had a second pier and a third pier that were replacements, because shehem nitmahu rishayim, that was to prevent that in case of, let's say, the original ones became tamei, yaviyu shniim tachtim, that they could then go ahead and replace it with a secondary one as they're going ahead and purifying the first one. Except for the two altars that were in the Beis HaMikdash, Mizbeach HaZav, the golden altar, was that in the Heichal, and Mizbeach HaNachashis, although in the Beis HaMikdash it wasn't made out of copper, but Tosfos Yom Tov says, even if it was as it was in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, or maybe in the future they're going to make it out of copper, but no matter what the Mizbeach is made out of it, the halacha will be that they do not require immersion. From Neshein Kekarka, because they're like earth, as the Pasuk calls it, Mizbeach Adama, Mizbeach, an altar of the earth, and therefore, Karka is not Mekabel Tumah, and therefore these two altars do not require a Tahara of Tefillah. And there's also another item, as Rashi says, which we had mentioned, that the Shulchan did not require Tvila, is because no one ended up touching it, because we said don't touch it, because it's going to become Tameh, but we're not going to be able to take it away to be table it. So those three utensils, those three Kalim, do not require Tvila after Yom Tiv. Divrei Rabbi Elazar is as Pinyin Rabbi Elazar. The Chomer, he says, the reason is not because the Mizbeches do not require Tvila because they're like earth. Reason Mnei Shehein Mitzupin. Which again, the Gemara will explain exactly what is he saying. Is he saying that that's going to make it not Mekabel Tumah? Yes, Mekabel Tumah. But Chomer say the reason is because they are plated with something else over on top of the Mizbech. Now the Gemara brings Tana. We learned in the Braisa, similar to our Mishnah, that says, Hizaharu Shema Tigu B'Shulchan Mimnar. Be careful. Maybe you're going to touch the Shulchan, as our Mishnah quoted, but the Braisa here adds on another item that they warned the Amaratzim, don't touch the Menorah either. Now the Gemara asks, "B'tana didam my tamal tana Menorah." Why didn't our Tana say also that they shouldn't touch the Menorah and only told them don't touch the Shulchan? So the Gemara answers, because Shulchan k'siv bei tamid. As we quoted in the Mishnah, that Shulchan, it says that it always has to be there. So therefore we said don't touch it because it will become tamid, but we can't take it away to tavel it. Menorah like k'siv bei tamid. Menorah doesn't say it has to be always be there. And therefore, it's no problem. If they touch it, fine, we'll go ahead and we'll immerse it. Now, Rashi, however, does bring, although it does say Tamed by the Menorah, but it doesn't mean a constant of day and night. Rather, it means a constant of every night. There's a consistency of every night, meaning once a day, which is similar to like we say Tamed by the Oilas Tamed, which we bring a carbon oila every day. It doesn't mean every second of the day, but it has a consistency of daily, so too with the Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. But by Yaim, they wouldn't light the menorah because it says in the Pasuk, Me'erev ad Boker, which means so you have to put an amount of oil that it could light from the evening all the way till the morning. And therefore, however, by the morning time, during the daytime, so the menorah is available to be removed, to go ahead and immerse it. However, the Tamid that it says by the Shulchan, it means constantly day and night because it has to be there from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos and then it already has to be with the new lechem upon them. And therefore, regarding the Shulchan, we said, don't touch. But the Menorah, we didn't say, because if they do touch, we'll go ahead and we'll table in the mikvah. So the Gemara has to be, what's with the Tana of the Braisa? So why does he say, we tell them, Ratzim, not to touch the Menorah? That's because, Kivin Nechsev, since it says in the Pasuk, Ves HaMenorah Noichach HaShulchan, that in the placement of where the things were in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Heichal, it says that the Menorah is opposite the Shulchan. Which means to say, that as long as the Shulchan's there, the menorah should be opposite it, which means to say, it's almost as if it's written the idea of being constantly there by the Shulchan applies to the menorah, because it says opposite the Shulchan, it always has to have a menorah opposite. So whenever the Shulchan's there, the menorah has to be there. So just like the Shulchan always has to be there, menorah also has to be there. So the Gemara says, so what's the pshat in the town of our Mishnah? It says that it doesn't, you could take it away. So he says, no, it's not giving all halachic properties of the Shulchan to the menorah. It's just a hulikvoy lamokum hudas. It was just coming to establish where the placement of the menorah is. Where do you put it? Saying you place it opposite the Shulchan. But it doesn't mean to say that the menorah has to be there opposite the Shulchan at all times that the Shulchan is there. Now the Gemara asks regarding the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, but typically, now the question is that even if, let's say, the Amaratzim would touch the Shulchan, so who cares? It should still not become Tameh, and therefore we shouldn't be bothered. Let them touch it. You're right, you can't take it away to immerse it, but it doesn't make a difference because the Kli Eitz HaAsul HaNachasu, the Shulchan is essentially a wooden utensil, a wooden vessel that's made to be stationary. In other words, it's made to stay in one place. You don't move the Shulchan. It was something that always stayed in the Heichal. Now, the halacha is, we call Kli Eitz HaAsul HaNachas LeMetameh, any wooden utensil, that a vessel that's meant to stay stationary, does not contract tumah. Now, my tumah, what's the reason for that? That's because dumi desak beinan. Regarding the halachas of tumah, there is a hekesh, there's a comparison between wooden type of utensils and a sackcloth. And that's because it says in the pasuk, it says in Vayikra Yidalf, kol asher yipol alav mehem b'moisam, whatever will fall on these vessels of the when the sheretz dies, siyitma will transmit tumah. Mikol kli eitz from any wooden vessel, a beged or garment or oir or leather or sack or sackcloth. So we see that there's a comparison between wood and sackcloth, which comes to teach the following halacha: mas sack metaltim moli v'rekim, just like a sackcloth, is a type of an item that is meant to and could be transported, both when it's full or empty, because sometimes it's empty, your sackcloth, but sometimes it's full. That's the purpose of a sackcloth, is to transmit objects. So av kol mitaltel mol v'rikim. What that means to say is that all these other items also, including the wooden vessels, has to be something that is transportable and it's meant to be transported both when it's full and empty. Now, generally what the Gemara uses that to exclude is that would exclude, first of all, something that's meant to stay stationary, which it's not transported full and empty because it just stays where it is. And therefore that would exclude a wooden utensil, a wooden vessel that could that contains 40 sa when it's a wet liquid, or kurayim, which are 60 sa when it's dry, which then you could pile up more because the dry doesn't spill over like liquid does. So although yes, it's something that's moved when it's empty, but if it's not moved when it's full because it's too much weight on it, and if you're going to move it and with so much weight it's going to break, then the halacha is such an object does not contract tuma. And therefore, the Gemara is asking that this case of the Shulchan is something that's not meant to be moved. It's always asul nachas, and if it's not meant to be moved, it's not similar to the sackcloth, and therefore it's not going to contract tuma. So why are we so concerned about having the Amaratzim touch it? Because we can't remove it. Who cares? Touch and touch away, because it's not going to be type of kli that's makabel tuma. So the Gemara answers, no, because hainami metalta molev reikim. Actually, the Shulchan, although it seemed that it always stayed in its place and it's not meant to be moved, and it's asla nachas, and therefore it's not similar to a sackcloth that is metalta, actually the Shulchan is something that's moved when it's empty and when it's full. Kedir Shlokesh, like Rish Lakesh said, Damer Shlokesh, he said, Maidach said, what does it mean in Pasik im Vayikra that talks about Besamto Isam, it's in Perikh of Dal Pasik Vav, that you will place the lechem upon him, the showbreads, shtai marachas, two different compartments with shesha marachas, each one having six. You'll put them al hashulchan ha-tahar, on the pure shulchan, the pure table. Which means to say, Hashem is saying that I said it should be tahar. Now, what does it mean I said it should be tahar? Mechlal shu-tameh. The inference is that the shulchan could become tameh. Now, v'amai, Rish Lakesh asked the same question that we were discussing in our Gemara. Kliyetza asal nachasu v'ein makabot tameh. What do you mean? The shulchan is a wooden utensil, a wooden vessel that's meant to stay stationary. It's not moved, and therefore it's not something that's mekabel tuma. So what is the Torah telling you it should be shulchan hatar if it cannot be tummy in the first place? So Rish Lakish says, and that's where it comes in to understand our Gemara too, Ela malamet shemegi bein oisai. It comes to teach that actually they would actually lift it up, so it was moved. Umar by la'ila regalam lechem upon them. And it was moved also mole with all the showbreads on it because they wanted to show the Jews coming to make pilgrimage that lived all over Eretz Yisrael scattered around. They would show them inside the Beis HaMikdash the showbreads. Now why would they show them this? Because Va'im Lehem, they would tell the Jews, Ruuchi Baschem Lefnei HaMalkim, see how precious and dear you are in front of Hashem. That He made such a miracle, that Siluka Kisiduroi, that the removal of the breads on the coming Shabbos is the same hot as it was when it was organized on it on the Shabbos before. As the Amar Rabbi Shuman Levi, said, that Nes Gadol Nasa B'lechem Panim, it was a great miracle that happened with the showbreads. Kisidura Kachsilukai, just like it was hot when they would put it on as they had made baked fresh, so too when they took it off, it was the same hot. Shemak says the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says, Losum Lechem, to place bread, Chayim that's hot, B'yom Hilakchai, on the day that they would take it. In other words, it was the same hot on the day that they took it as they had placed it on the time on the Shabbos before. And therefore, this is something that is movable, and therefore it is makabel tuma, and that's what we told them, don't touch, because we're not going to be able to take it away, to tayvel it, because it has to be lefanai tuma in front of Hashem always. Now the Gemara asks a different question. Fine. But typically, the Gemara's question is that we should say that it is makabel tuma, even if it is asal nachas. In other words, the Gemara has to come up with a type of a medrash to say that it was moved because they wanted to show the Jewish people that it's something of a nest that's done with the breads. So the Gemara's question is, why do we have to come on to that to say that it's moved, so it's not asul nachas, and that's what's makabel tuma. The Gemara is asking, even if it would stay stationary, but it should still be makabel tuma, and therefore the Gemara should not have had a question because of mishum tzipoy, from the fact that it's coated, it's plated with metal. Now, metal is something that's not compared in that pasuk to the sackcloth. And therefore, metal is something that even if it's asula nachas, is makabel tuma. That's not like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim that says that we base a vessel on its plating. And if that's the case, since the plating is metal, so metal, even if it's asula nachas, is makabel tuma. So why do we have to say that teretz of, oh, because it was lifted up? Even if it's not lifted up, it should still be makabel tuma. And that's why we told the Maratzim not to touch it.
As the Mishnah there says that Hashulchan regarding a table, Bahadulfaki, and regarding this type of foldable chair which is covered with leather, Shenifchasu, if it got deficient a little bit, part of it broke, Oishachipin Mishayesh, or if it was plated with marble. Now the point of it breaking a little bit or of it being played with marble is that then it's not makabel tumah because, for example, by the plating of marble, it's the halachic status of klei avanim, of stone utensils, which are not makabel tumah. However, although it became a little bit deficient or it was plated with marble, if vishayir behem, if at least part of the vessel, the table, was still, there's a remnant from, let's say, of what broke or from what was plated with marble, enough to have mokum hanochas kaisis to place on it some cups, then tame, then the table and all these other items will still be considered tame because it's still usable for its original utility, which is something that's makabel tumah, which is a table in contrast to the part that's broken or to the part that's plated with marble, which cannot contract tumah. Pehudaimer, he says that it's not enough just to have a place where to put cups, you also need to have mokum hanochas hachatichis. You also have to have a place where you can put the pieces of bread and of meat. However, if not, then we're not going to view it as a shulchan. But one thing we see from this Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, that we see that the tzipui, the plating, let's say by the case of the marble, it's mevatel the shulchan. Meaning to say, even as a leniency, we'll say that, oh, if you plate the whole thing with marble, although there's a regular table that's makabel tumah, the marble that's covering it, the tzipui, will redefine it as marble, and therefore it's not going to be makabel tumah. So even as a leniency, we say that the primary thing becomes the tzipui. Now, all the more so for a stringency, to say that if the plating is metal, that we're going to define it based on the metal. So the Gemara's question is, why do we have to say that's makabel tumah? Because it's not osel nachas, because it's lifted up. Forget about it. The shulchan always remained stationary. But you want to know what's makabel tumah? Because it's plated with gold. If it's plated, the metal itself will define its definition, which is that it's makabel tumah, even if it's stationary, because metal is not compared to a sackcloth that's only from the metalti malivarik, and that's only by eights and those other items. So the Gemara says now, b'chitem, if you're going to say an answer, shani atzei shitim, that, oh, the shulchan of Beis HaMikdash is different than that mishnah you brought me in Masechtas Kelim, because that's made out of shitim wood. The chashivi, b'loi batli, that's considered very distinguished type of wood. That's not bottled to a plating. And therefore, the primary definition of it will be based on the wood itself. And if it would be asla nachas, it would not be mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, fine. Hanichal Rish Lakish, you could give such an answer according to the opinion of Rish Lakish. The Amar, that he says that lo yishanu, we didn't learn this halacha in the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, that the tzipui, that the covering, the plating, is mevatel, it redefines the kli based on the plating, that we only said that ilub kli achsilgim. That was only regarding this type of a kli that's not so chashav. And they are habam medin sayam, they come from the faraway cities. However, Rish Lakish said, but regarding this mismim type of kli, which they're very chashav, they're not going to be batal. So shapur, yes, according to Rish Lakish, you can make such a distinction and say that regarding atzei shitim, there the plating won't define it, and that's why it would not be makabel tumah, because the wood is asl nachas, and that's why you have to say that's lifted up. But according to Biyechon, that he said, that he says, it doesn't make a difference what the utensil is. No matter how chashav it is, the plating redefines it, and therefore, by the case of the shayish, the marble, we'll say it's not makabel tumah. So then, what are you going to say over here? Since this shulchan is plated with gold, it should be makabel tumah, even if it's asl nachas. So why does the Gemara have to say it's because it was lifted up? So now the Gemara says, and if you're going to say, oh, that will resolve the contradiction as follows. Kan, the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim is talking about betzipui oimed. It's talking about a permanent plating. That type of permanence is going to be mavatal, the kli that's under it. Kan, however, the shulchan, the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about was betzipui she'eino oimed. And that is, it's not permanently established by knocking it in with nails. And you're going to say that in the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't oimed. It was just on top of it, but it wasn't permanent by being hammered in with nails, and that's why you'll say that in our Mishnah, the Shulchan did not have the status as the metal covering itself, because it's only when it's oimid, when it's permanent, and that's why it would not be makabel tumah if it was not moved, because it's the wood that gives the definition. But the Gemara says that's also untenable, because habayim and Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan, because this was a question Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechanan in qualifying that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. He asked him, b'tzipa oimid, is this halacha that we're defining this utensil by the plating, let's say in the marble, that it will be mevatel the kli and define it only by the plating? Is that only by plating that's permanent, or even one that's not permanent, but it's just plating it for now? Another question he asked him was, b'cheifa es levizvaz, oy b'she'ena cheifa es levizvaz. This, that we're saying, that it's going to be considered a plating, is that only if it even covers the rim of the shulchan all around, or is it even if it doesn't totally cover even the rim? And ba'amalei, what Rabbi Yechon answered to Rish Lakish, he says, loishna b'tzipa oymid, v'loishna b'tzipa she'ena. It doesn't make a difference if it's permanent plating or not permanent plating. That it doesn't make a difference. It's even if it doesn't cover the rim, and even if it's not hammered in with nails, it will still be considered a plating that defines and is mavatal the kli itself. And therefore, back to the question. So therefore, even if you'll say the Shulchan the Beis HaMikdash was something that it was not permanent, and even if, let's say, it didn't cover the rim, whatever the case was, it would still be redefining and be mavatal the Shulchan. And therefore, the status should be based on the gold plating. And if that's the case, why did the Gemara have to say that it's because they picked it up? That's why the Shulchan was Mekabel Tumah, and that's why they had to tell Amar not to touch it. It's Mekabel Tumah even if it was stationary, because the plating is gold, and gold is Mekabel Tumah, even if it's Asl Nachas. So then the Gemara answers, Elashanei Shulchan. You're right. Generally, that would be the Halacha, but the Shulchan, the table in the Beis HaMikdash, was different. And that is, as the Gemara continues at the top of Chavzayin and Aleph, is because Drachmana creates, the Torah creates definition. The Torah defines it, even though it's plated with gold, the Torah calls it wood. Hence we see the Torah considers it as a status as wood, and that's why it's going to be Mekabel Tumah only if it was lifted up. But if it would have been stationary, a wood that's Asl Nachas is not Mekabel Tumah. Except like we find in Pasuk in Yechezkel that calls it HaMizbeach Eitz. It's an altar of wood, which is Shalish Amis Gevaya, 3 Amis high, V'arkoi 2 Amis, its length is 2 Amis, U'mektzei Eisav Loi V'arkoi B'kereisav Eitz, its corners is for it, and its length and its walls are all wood. V'yidaber Elai, and he spoke to me, Zeh HaShulchan HaShulifnei Hashem. This is the Shulchan that's in front of Hashem. So you see that this is a reference, although it called it Mizbeach, it's a reference to really the Shulchan, and that we call it Eitz. So you see that although it's plated with gold, Torah calls it eight, and that's why it would not be Mekabel Tumah if it was Asl Nachas, and that's why we have to say that the reason why we didn't want them touching it is because it was lifted, and it is Asl Taltal Mali V'Reikim. Now the Gemara just ends this discussion by asking on this Pasuk that we just quoted in Yechezkel, that how do you understand the Pasuk? Pasuk b'mizbeach v'sayim b'shulchan, you open up saying that we're discussing the altar, and then you conclude then saying that we're talking about the Shulchan. Which one is it? There's two different objects. One's the altar where we sacrifice things on it, and the other one's the Shulchan where they would have the Lechem upon them on it. So the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yechmer Shlokish, Damir Tavaya, both of them said the following drush. And this is where the Pasuk in Yechezkel is coming to teach us. Bizmacha Beis HaMikdash Kayim, when the Beis HaMikdash, the temple was still around, Mizbeach Mechaper Al Adam, what would provide atonement for a person? The Mizbeach, the altar where we would bring Karbanis. Achshav Shulchan Shel Adam Mechaper Lav. Now it's a person's own table that provides atonement for him. Like Rashi says, because when one has a meal and he invites guests to the table, that is what provides the atonement. That's why when we're defining the Shulchan, we call it a Mizbeach to tell you that when there's no more Mizbeach around, what is going to be your Mizbeach? It's going to be your Shulchan, and that's because when you're inviting guests in, that is as Taisa says, that how great is Koyach HaLegimo. When one gives someone food to eat, what that is provides the atonement for a person, just like the Mizbeach did when the Beis HaMikdash was still around.